system. In Vitraki, the Vitraki system that they operate in, the major practice was that their world was a brutal world, or we'll call brutish world. A brutish world, not British now, but brutish. We would soon look at that word, brutish. Hallelujah. So that was their world. I remember I was saying you have to go back to their world and understand how words were used. And in writing, a system of writing that was employed in those times is that they would use their words to also span back to how what was happening in their immediate world. What was happening in their immediate world. And those are the things that we'll be seeing shortly. Hallelujah. So Moses writing to them about God makes them see that at the back of the culture and system, back of this their culture and system, God had to accommodate. God had to accommodate some of their practices, their systems in the world in general. And we would explore this today and begin to look at it some other time, which is into the years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But behind their practice behind the practice in their world, we'll find man that is without God. Because such practices were practices that depict a man without God. Hallelujah. Vitraki. Hallelujah. And God, Moses will now write that God will offer himself in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 as the gospel offer himself in the gospel to be the light that will shine in the darkness. So the darkness will be their system, their practice in their world, and the answer will be God, who will be light that will shine in that darkness. So the answer to man's wickedness, the answer to man's problem, the answer to man's unbelief will be God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's do a bit more study on Genesis 1:2. When in verse 2, when it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Remember, we said it's the earth without the heaven. Never forget that. It's the earth without the heaven. And it connotes man in unbelief. And he describes the man as what? Empty and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Yeah, we said Moses goes back to the core of evil in their world. When it says darkness upon the surface of the deep has to do with their world. It goes beyond his immediate audience. It goes down to their world. Darkness upon the surface of the deep. So the deep goes into the nations. Are you hearing me? Into the nations. And what will be Moses' solution? Moses' solution will be God's garden. Will be God's Eden. Hallelujah. God's Eden, where we'll have waters flowing into the Eden. In and out. Waters flowing into the Eden, which will be in the Eden of God, you will have the waters. Waters, and what will the waters depict? The waters will depict the nations of the world. Are you hearing me? So that will be God's solution. That will be God's answer. God's answer will be his Eden. God's answer will be what he will do. God's answer will be himself. Hallelujah. Because God's Eden is an imagery for God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said when it says darkness was upon the surface of the deep, Moses went into the core of evil in his world. He was referring to his world beyond his audience, his world in general. And it says the reason is unbelief in the gospel. He calls it the reason is unbelief in the gospel, man without God. I love what E.W. Kenyon would say. E.W. Kenyon would say, at the back of civilization is the gospel. Hallelujah. At the back of civilization is gospel. That the gospel brings enlightenment. The gospel brings light. Hope you are following me now. Glory to God. Say the gospel brings light. So it implies Moses, in writing about theology, will be answering the question of his world. Do you see that? Answering the problem of his world, the problem of his day. And it says the answer will be God in the gospel preached. That's what it's saying. He says, darkness was upon the surface of the deep, the problem of that day. And he says, the answer will be God. The same way, we can answer to these questions in our world from the scriptures. Hallelujah. We don't force the answers out of the scriptures, but we can find answers to the problem of today from the scriptures, because the gospel is the answer to man's problem. Hallelujah. Just like questions like, is it good for a believer to do IVF? Is it good for a believer to smoke? Though things like these are not expressly stated in scripture, do not smoke. Do you find smoke in Bible? No. Though you don't find it expressly written IVF in scriptures. Hallelujah. Yet we can find answers to them from proper Bible explanation, from proper explanation of scriptures. Hallelujah. So let's sit back and do a bit more detailed study into Moses' world. Hallelujah. Let's do a bit more detailed into Moses' world. First of all, we say what they practiced was the Near Eastern culture. Right? The Near Eastern culture. A culture which is characterized by patriarchy or patriarchal which is characterized by the patriarchal system and was a brutish world. Brutish. Remember I said it's not British, but brutish world. Hallelujah. Brutish. What does it mean, brutish? What does it mean? Brutish in the fact or in the sense that people were killed and it was counted as justice. Or people were killed to show strength. Strength of a nation over another nation will be known by kill, by death. It was a brutal world. Hallelujah. Brutal war. That was the kind of war. In fact, people were killed and it was counted for justice. We have an example in scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Numbers 25, if I'm not mistaken. Numbers 25. Verses 7. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Let's start from verse 1 so you understand what he's saying. And Israel abode in Shittim, where the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Did you see that? They began to have fornication. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. So they began to have idol worship also. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them before the Lord against the sun. And the fierce anger of the Lord was turned away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, slay everyone, his men, that were joined to Baal-peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the congregation. Are you following me? Hallelujah. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in hand and went after the man of Israel in the tent and thrust both them through. Do you see that? Why Moses was still trying to deal with the issue? A man came with a Midianite, and they were having fornication. And what did Phineas do? Took a javelin and he pierced both of them, the men of Israel, and the woman threw her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in that plague were 24,000. Are you following this? Hallelujah. Let's see how a later interpreter will do that. We'll refer to Phineas. Let's look at Psalmist. Psalm 106 verse 30 first. Another one, verse 29. Go, verse 27. Psalm 106, verse 27. I'll start from verse 23. He said, therefore, he said he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the beach to turn his rod, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tent, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Do you see that? The voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed among the nations, to scatter them in the land. They joined themselves unto Baal-Pol. Do you see that? Paul just read. And they ate sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. You see that? With their inventions. And the plague break in them. Then stood Phineas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed. And it was counted to him for what? Come on, it was counted to him for what? Unto all generations forevermore. It was counted to him for what? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Somebody stood up and killed people. And he said, haha, he's righteous. In fact, when he said it was counted to him for righteousness, it's the same word. Look at what Moses said. I mean, verses 10 of Numbers 25. Mark that word, it was counted to him for righteousness. The same word used for Abraham in Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed God. Did you see that? The same word, believed God, was counted for Abraham for righteousness. Somebody killed another person and it was counted for it. Look at what God said in verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phineas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath again away from the children of Israel. While he was zealous, he called that he was zealous for my sake among them. And I consumed not the children of Israel. Are you saying it? I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made atonement for the children of Israel. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone killed somebody, and it was counted for him for what? Counted for him for righteousness. It was just the practice of their world. Hallelujah. It was just the practice of their world. That was justice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, in their world also, a show of strength is we'll fight and one person must die. That is a show of strength. It was a brutal world. Are you hearing me? It's a brutal world. If you offend, offenders were killed outrightly. If you steal someone's things, you will be killed outrightly. You will be killed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to them, it was justice in their world. That was justice. You take what belongs to me, I kill you. It was justice in their world. You know, today, if you do that, that is injustice. Say, you know, that's what we call today mob action. What he does on the highway, kill it, is mob action. It's injustice. You see that? So that means justice in our world today and justice in their world can't be the same. So if I'm in their world and I'm reading justice, I must not read justice in their world in my world today. Are you saying that? Are you following me? Because justice in their world and justice in our world are not the same. Are not the same. How can you explain to okay, even to people in our world that in those days, how I want to show that my nation has power, has strength, is that I will go to another nation and take people, I will win them, and I will take people there as slaves. It shows I was a conqueror. That's their world. But today, want to show me you are rich? Show me your G-Wagon, right? Show me your bank account. But then, how I know you are rich? How many slaves do you have? Did you see that? Are you following me? Are you following me? That is just, how many lands do you have? That I know you are rich. But that's not the same thing in that world today. In fact, in the next generation, what you will be calling is rich will be how much do you have in your crypto. Do you know that? You don't be asking how much you have in your bank account. Right? How much crypto do you have? Do you understand me? Virtual money. That's what the world is turning into. Word of God. Those who are fighting against it will later admit it. Very soon we'll have e-naira in our country. Virtual naira. Hallelujah. No longer be using paper money again. We'll now be using virtual money. Amen. Up Jesus. Amen. How many of you know 1 naira coin? How many of you know 1 naira coin? Have you seen 1 naira coin before? Have you seen 50 kobo coin? Have you seen 50? You've seen 50 kobo? Okay, now let me now shock you. Have you seen 1 naira note?
You said there was no 1 naira note, but there was 1 naira note.
Amen. There was. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following me? There was. How many of you have seen cowries? Not Nollywood cowries, real cowries. How can you explain to your children that those cowries were legal tender? That is justice. The worlds are changing. Are you following me? The worlds are changing. So that world, in that world, it was a brutal world. Are you hearing me? In fact, Moses, in Genesis, Exodus 2, verse 11 into 12, Moses killed an Egyptian for justice. He killed an Egyptian. Killed the Egyptian. Yapa. Killer. Because he was fighting a Jew. Do you understand? He killed this Egyptian. Hallelujah. And it was told Moses, because it was their word, it was justice. He took justice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read Numbers 14, Moses that they saw did miracles in Egypt, brought them out, all the miracle signs and wonders. Numbers 14 verse 10, they took stones and said they were going to stone Moses. To them it is justice. Amen. That was their world. In fact, it happened to Paul. When they wanted to show rejection in the days of Paul, they would stone you. Amen. Did they carry stone against Jesus? They did. They carried stone against Moses too. Moses! Yes! They took stones against him. So that was their world. It was a brutish world. Brutal world. Hallelujah. Yet, God had to accommodate them. We're going to see how God had to accommodate them. God had to accommodate them. And I said, it's not something we can look at in this year, no, next year, no, next 5 years. Where they tell his lie, don't prepare your mind. But God needed to accommodate those practices. How? He was accommodating it and he was helping them reduce it. Like for example, normal. If somebody steals your thing, what do? Eh? You kill the person, right? So Moses now came out with, no, Moses was not just a Christian leader, but not just a prophet to them. He was also like their governor. I hear him. He was like their president, national leader.
Are you hearing me? So he will both make, he will also, he will teach them God's status, and also he will still lead them physically, spiritually. Amen. So what is writing the law to them?
Listen, some of you have said, ah, the law. If you were in their world, you appreciate those things Moses wrote. Hallelujah. So, you steal my cow. Right? I catch you, I kill you. Sagan. No, as in, I will kill you, people will come out and be clapping. They will be, if I, they will celebrate you. Ah!
Come on, man. The man.
But you know what? Bring it back. Moses will now write. Man, give them a law. A man steals your goat. Yes. Okay. You kill him, right? Yeah. So rather than killing him. Eh? Rather than stealing him with big stone and letting him die. What if he redeems it? What if he gives you back another goat? In fact, pays you, rather than give you one goat, now gives you four. Then, that means I will not just have one, I have four. It's good. That is the law. Did you see that? What was God doing? God was countering what was happening in their world, right? God was accommodating what was happening in their world. Hallelujah. Why kill the man? Did you see that? Because to them, life was worth nothing. A woman. Now, let me see if I was supposed to get here now. Yes, very soon. So let me, before I get to a woman, let me just go for that. In their world, I hope you are listening to me. In their world, also, let me read out a law. Quickly, so that you understand something now. Sorry, just give me a minute. So you have those things. Moses was like, let me use the word of Pastor Shegun. He was stepping it down for them, little by little. Hallelujah. But where would you now find the fulfillment of everything in Christ? So what Moses tells them, rather than kill, give. What if he pays you back? What if he redeems it? Say, I'll be richer. It makes sense. That is love. Hope you know that is love. The guy did not die. Love. And where will you find the redefinition of love? In Christ. Do you understand me? So God had to accommodate those their practices. So, when you say a man slaps you, turn the other cheek. I mean, sorry, Jesus says turn the other cheek. Normal, what was in their world was an eye for an eye. That was what was their practice of their world. That is, you remove my eye, I must remove your own back. Do you get an eye for an eye? That was their world. It was that brutal. Hallelujah. And Jesus explaining that for Moses would be, turn the other cheek, love. Do you understand me? Go to God. That was just it. I want to show I'm stronger than you will fight one person. One. If the person will die, let me be the weakling. And when the person dies, you will not be, ah! You will not say, ah, the man you be. You said you don't fall in which, the man you be. Do you understand? Just it. Go to God. The man you be. Glory to God. So that was what they had as practice in their world. And God had to accommodate them. For a woman, in fact, how women were treated, right, you would cry. In fact, in their world, men are seen as lords. Men are seen taken to be lords. Final word, lords, is a patriarchal system. And the women were treated as chattels. Chattels is another word for prostitutes. They treated like prostitutes. Women were treated like, not just second class, they were treated like no class. I follow me. Women were seen to, permit my use of word, but I'm going to use it, I'm talking to believers. Women were seen as men's tools. to satisfy their sexual pleasures alone. Hallelujah. To satisfy their sexual pleasures alone.
So, woman was treated like a rag. An ancient writer says that when...
I wonder why I didn't quote it out. I'll do that in my next... Let me get you the name that you get what I'm quoting from. Sorry. I was supposed to get to the name, but I wonder why I forgot. A second. Okay. A major quote, an ancient writer, the book, Women in the Ancient Near East. Women in the Ancient Near East. Written by Martin Stowe. In the write-up, he says women were, right off, he says that when a man no longer likes a woman or feels he's done with her,
got married, sexual pleasure, feel
this one don't share. What he does is, see, he has that liberty to kill her. That was their practice. When he's done, she was this one. The man would go ahead to kill the woman, and everybody would praise.
Now, when Moses now gives them, can you now see? Listen, I want you to see how Jesus answered them in Matthew 19. I'm taking your mind back there. Do you understand? So when they are done with the women, they kill the women. Sometimes, are you hearing me? You don't have to sleep. The woman cannot sit where the man is done. How? Was done. So when you are done, just throw her like a chattel, kill her and things like that. So when Moses now writes to them and says, no, rather than killing her, give her a bill of divorcement. So that she is now free to go on. With that bill of divorcement, she can remarry and she will not be called an adulteress and she will be at peace. Did you now see? Detroit. So that bill of the government is that I don't want again. Oh yeah, take. Bye bye, leave my house. Abi? So when Moses now listen, that was why Moses gave that bill of divorcement. He said, it's the law. Moses is the law. If you knew what Moses was dealing with, he was dealing with a very hardened world. And he said, give her a bill of divorcement. To that woman, it is love. You love me. You know, why do you all give her the bill of the boy? You should all be singing, loving, you make the glory fill the heavens to shine. You should all be singing, so worthy of such mercy when he was on the cross. I was on his mind. In you mean, yet he loved me. Can you just sit now? Is there you ever walk and say, oh God, I will serve you for the rest of my days. I did not die. That was the joy. In fact, when your husband, if you are married and your husband dies before, the man dies before the woman, she will be moved like a moving train. She will be moved to the younger child. Yes, the younger child. If the man does not, if the husband does not marry her, because she is by obligation bound to that family as a slave. If the husband does not have any younger one and they have a child, she will be married to a male child. That's how they were treated. Why are you hearing me? Very brutal
And now,
he says, hey, Moses now writes, when the man dies, she's free from it. Do you not see that? She's free from that law. Is that not love? Ah, it's love.
It's God's intervention in their world. So what Moses was doing, what you call Moses' law, it was an intervention. You'll be grateful. Was intervening. Was an intervention. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Was an intervention. That was what Moses was doing. Glory to God. Moses is the law. Read it again. You go back and say, Moses, may God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. That's what Moses was doing. Glory to God. So Cain asked, when they now asked Jesus, why did Moses now give a bill of disbursement? Because Jesus understood the fact that when you are reading, you don't just read what is just written. You have to read what was happening in this. I usually say that it's in the social cultural environment when what was written was written. So Jesus knew that their world was a hardened world. Genesis 1:2, darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So Jesus now said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Now the hardness of your heart. Remember, they were not the ones there. The Pharisees were not the ones in Moses' word. But he said, because of the hardness of your heart. So Moses has, Jesus has unified that audience with the audience of Moses. Hallelujah. When he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, he's not saying Moses because of the people that were there. No, we're talking about Moses' word. So he's unifying two things. Jesus' audience and their audience. Jesus' world and their world. So their world was a brutal world. He said, because of that world, like your own word, Moses gave them the bill of divorcement, saying, put the man and the woman. But from the beginning, what happened? It was not so. Did you see that? So the beginning, when he said from the beginning, what is the beginning? I told you what the beginning is. The beginning is what? The new beginning. In the redemption, right? Come on! In the new creation. Hallelujah! So, in the new creation is Genesis 1:1. In the new creation, it was itself. Hallelujah! That's just it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So that would be the bill of divorcement in their world. So when Jesus says hardness of your heart, now let me just take it again the way it is in my notes. He refers not just to the immediate audience of Moses, but also the practice among the men in their world. Hallelujah. Even though God doesn't like the putting away of women, of their wives, yet he has to accommodate it. Because they were coming from... God can just, you know, that's how God works. It's not just a stereotype, boom, boom. You know, Moses would have just said, no more putting away of your wives. Ah! They will kill Moses. Say you. So God had to take them through a process. That's what God does. Hallelujah. Some of you, the moment you got born again, was it that same day that you started doing the things you are doing now? Sometimes you made mistakes because it was accommodating, right? You're getting better as the world is taught, right? Hallelujah. Somebody cannot just get born again today and you're telling the person, let me teach you about Phineas in the scriptures. It's God. You take the person through the process, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some practices that you had some few years ago. Pastor didn't say anything to you about it, but now you're still doing it. Your pastor says, don't do it. Why? Accommodation. Hallelujah. Accommodation. Hallelujah. That is how God trains people. He accommodates man's irregularities. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. But God has to accommodate their system. He has to. Hallelujah. So, inasmuch as God, or put Moses, accommodated their practices, yet he still taught them about God's work in redemption. He was accommodating their practices. Moses was accommodating, but yet, Moses told them, give a bill of divorcement, but yet he said, in the beginning it was not so. I mean, in the beginning, it is in Genesis, before he gets to Deuteronomy, where he asked them to give a bill of divorcement, Moses has taught them that God doesn't like the putting away. Did you see that? Now that's what we're going to read. We want to explain that from Jesus. When Jesus said from the beginning it was not so, what does Jesus mean from the beginning it was not so? From Genesis, what was Moses teaching concerning the marital union? Are you following me? What does Moses teach concerning marital union? That it wasn't so. But yet, in as much as Moses is giving them a bill of divorcement, put her away, don't kill her. Yet he's telling you, in Christ Jesus, God doesn't like that. Do you understand that? So let's see what Moses is showing them. Very soon.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hope you understand what I'm teaching you. Hope you're understanding it.
Hallelujah. See, if you are fighting with sleep, this is a battle you must win. And it will count for you for righteousness. Amen. Glory to God. Because in another 3 hours we are here. Glory to God. So, are you with me? From the beginning it was not. So let's see what Moses taught them in Genesis 1. Look at Genesis 1:26. Didn't you mean that is lovely? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Hallelujah. So when he says, let's make man, everybody listen to me here now. When he says, let's make man, those of you who have thought it was creation, or it was Jesus, Paul was writing, Moses was writing a sign.
He said, let's make man. That word man is the word in the Hebrew, Adam. Adam is used in two ways in scriptures. It's used for humanity and it's used for a person. The person called Adam. There was a man called Adam and Eve. Do you understand me? But the word name Adam too is used for what? Humanity.
Take note of that. So when he says, let's make man in our image, he wasn't here referring to Adam as a man alone. No. We're talking about Adam as what? Humanity. Look at verse 28. Verse 27. So he created him in his own image. In the middle of God created him, male and female created he them. Did you see that? So the Adam will be male and female. Do you get that? The Adam will be what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we're talking here. Yeah, so the Adam here will be what? Humanity. Let's make humanity in our image. So let's see. So he said, let's make man in our image. So man in his image, you will find male and female in the image, right? Was that what we saw? Created in male and female, created in the image. Now let's see that word image. Let's understand what the meaning, the use of the word image. That word image is a Hebrew word from Hebrew word teslem. Teslem, T-S-E-L-E-M. A word that is used for a temple language. Teslem, T-S-E-L-E-M. Used for a temple language, a temple word. So when the children of Israel, when they hear image, their mind goes to temple. Are you following me? Their mind, when you hear image,
Against principalities and powers that call us that will look like a shoe in those days. Say, I am a beautiful image, I am a wonderful image.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's continue. So, image. When they hear image, their mind goes to where? The temple. What do you have in the temple? You see that? What do you have in the temple? In the temple is where you have the image of God. So when you hear image, your mind goes to temple. Hallelujah. Mind goes to temple. It's a temple language. You find images in the temple. So when they hear image, remember he was talking to people who were coming out from where? Egypt. So in Egypt they have different gods, and every god have their temple. When they hear image, temple, gods, deity. Guess what comes to mind? Do you understand me? When you hear image, what comes to mind? Deity, gods. So he says, let us make man in our image. So let's make man in our gods. Did you see that? So let's now see something. It's from the Greek word icon or icon, E-I-K-O-N, in the Greek. A word which Paul later used for the Lord Jesus. Image. Colossians 1:14-15. Hope you're following me. Please don't get missing. Colossians 1:14-15. Are you there? Now, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, and firstborn of every creation. Who is it referring to? Christ Jesus, right? Right? 2 Corinthians 4:4. We were here in the last session. Verse 4. It says, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds of them who believe not, release the glorious gospel of Christ. Who is the image of God? So who is the image of God? Christ. Are you seeing that? Romans 8:29. Are you there? It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. It's used for the image of his son. 1 Corinthians 15:49. This is important. But look at it. It says, and we are, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. We use our glorious body for those, our glorious body to be like that of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is image. So when I get to Luke 20, verse 24. From verse 23, and they came to Jesus, and they asked, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But verse 23, but he perceived their craftiness and said to them, why tempt me? Did you see that? They came to meet him, and they said, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Is it good that we pay money to Caesar? Now, it's a dicey question. It's just the question that if you say yes, you will be dealt with. If you say no, you'll be dealt with. Just like asking somebody, have you been cured of your HIV? You know, if you say yes, it means you used to have HIV. If you say no, it means you are still having HIV. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the question you have to look at very well. Say, is it good to pay tribute to Caesar? Is it good to give money to Caesar? To pay taxes to Caesar? If he had said yes, they would say he's not a true Jew. Do you see that? If he says no, they will report him to Caesar. Can you see? So he died. So the Bible says Jesus understood, caught their craftiness. Say, why are you tempting me? Now say, okay, show me a penny. The man brought him a pen, which is their legal tender. And I say, whose image and inscription has it? That is, guys used to say word icon. Which image? Tesla. Do you see that? Which image you have there? And they answered Caesar. Which image do you have on 1,000 naira notes? He called the name. You understand me? And said, now look at what Jesus now said. He now said, render therefore Caesar the things which be to Caesar, and to God the things which be to God. He has just answered the questions of their day. Some people will say, pay taxes to whatever, and then give God tithes. That is just nonsense. But it's good to pay taxes. What Jesus has done is that, pay your taxes to Caesar, but give to God that which belongs to God. What belongs to God? You go back to Genesis 1, the image. He said, let's make man in our image. So what does God need? Your very life.
Did you see that?
So give to God that which belongs to God. Give to God your own very life. That is what is required from you in the Genesis. So when God said, let's make man in our image, you're not saying, let's be creating sand. No, let's make man in Christ. So what is the image of God? The image of God is Christ. Did you see that? So let's make man in our image. Let's make man in ourselves. Let's make man in Christ. Did you see that? Remember, we say Genesis is redemption, right? New beginning, right? New creation. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hope you are following me now. Okay. So when Moses thought and said, in the image of God, make man in the image of God, it means let's make man in Christ. And in verse 27, he now said he made them male and female. That means, what Moses is telling them that in God's new creation, remember Moses is answering the question of their day. The question of that day was a patriarchal system, a brutish world. And he said it is evil. He said it is darkness and, empty and void and darkness of the forest, soul of the deep. Right? And now he's saying, remember the patriarchal system where women are treated like a nobody. And now Moses now said, in the new image. Hallelujah. RSM. Touch that man. RSM. Regimental Sergeant Mayor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So Moses is saying that in the new creation, listen, he's answering the question of their day. He said, in your world, in our world, we have the patriarchal system. Women are treated anyhow. But in God's new creation, in God's image, right? In God's new creation, what God will do in your redemption, you will have male and female in God's image. Without discrimination, without inequality. Are you seeing that? That's what Moses is saying. You find male and female equal in God's Christ. Are you following me? That's what you find in God's Christ, in God's new creation. You find male and female together equal in God's new creation. I call it like this in my book. I say this is a direct attack on their patriarchal system. A direct attack. Because patriarchal system is saying men are the real God, while women are their subordinate that they use now. Moses is saying, no! In God's new creation, you'll find male and female equal. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because they have discrimination among gender. And Moses is saying, no, there is no gender discrimination in Christ. Hallelujah. Where you will find the discrimination will be the man that is not in the image. Hallelujah. But the man that is in the image, you find them male and female. Hallelujah. 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 Let me take your mind back to something quickly. Remember, we saw Moses, Adam will be male and female, right? Right? Let's make man in our image, make them male and female. So Moses, humanity will be male and female. And we say Moses is teaching theology, right? And in doing so, he's answering the question of their world, right? So now let's see. If Adam is male and female, Genesis chapter 2. Let's move further. Verses 15. Look at what it says. It says, and the Lord took the man. Who is the man here? Adam. Right? Male and female. Come on. Adam. Is he male and female? Yes. Male and female. Come on. And what did he do? And planted him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Take note of that. He uses the word to dress it and to keep it. That is the word abad and shamar in the Hebrew. Abad and shamar. A word you will find used by Moses. Hallelujah. In all of Moses' letters. And it will be used for the priests in the Exodus and in Leviticus. It's used for the priests. It's used for the priestly work. Hallelujah. Abad and Shammah. So that means the responsibility of Adam in Genesis 2:15, which will be male and female, right, will be the work of a priest. Hope you are following me.
Remember, when four of us said that Moses is writing imageries, right? Is it imageries too, right? Serpent is imagery. Garden of Eden is imagery, right? So now says the work of the Adam, male and female, will be what? Priestly. Work of a priest. Now, how did you follow this? Moses again in Exodus. How did you say this? Remember, who is supposed to be a priest? Only the man? No, male and female. Let's look at something in Exodus quickly. Chapter 19, verse 6. How did you follow this? 19:6. He's talking to a whole nation of Israel. And he said, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. What would he tell them? You shall be a nation of, I mean, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. So meaning, in Israel, you have men and women. He called all of them priests. So that means the Levites that were priests were actually a shadow to point to the real priest. The real priest will be male and female. Now let's take that back to 1 Peter 2:9. Peter is reading from Exodus 19:6 and Genesis 2:15. He will now say, you are a chosen generation. We're not talking about male alone. We're talking about believers, male and female. Say, a royal priesthood. Did you see that? Are you following me? A royal priesthood, male and female. So the work of the believer in Christ is the work of the priest. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's King Priest. Nice one, you see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So believers are called priests. Say, I'm a priest. Say, I'm a priest. Not if I priest you. Say, I'm a priest. Amen. Amen. So when Peter says you are royal priesthood, he reads from Genesis account of man into Exodus. Is that what he's reading? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hope you're understanding. Because some people, you are going to do a summary, but we'll do a summary here today. Really, you summarize what you've learned. So sit down and be moving. Sleep, wake up, write, just keep writing. Make sure you are awake. Hallelujah. Look at verses 18. He now did something. Moses now did something. In Genesis 2:18. Look what Moses now did. And the Lord now said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him help. I'll make and help it and help meet for him. Well, before you start thinking the man there is going to be only Adam. No. You are already intelligent to know that it was not talking about. It's talking about male and female, right? Now he uses the word help meet. Listen. When he uses the word help meet, okay, let's read that into 23. I'll make him a helpmeet. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them out. Okay, let's look at 21. And God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, now this is the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. What people say on their wedding day, but I refuse to say that. I didn't say that as part of my vows. And it shall be called woman, because she's taken out of man. So yeah, carry your lady, take good care of her. But remember that Jesus loves you more than you love that sister. So this is your missing ring. So you are incomplete like this. As fine as you are, bro, you are incomplete.
Incomplete,
sir. Amen. Amen. You know, when God made the man, the ribs was not complete. So, you know, the woman is the completion of the man. He's not complete, Neo. I've seen some women who were budding. Some men were like, why we won't marry you? And yeah, it's both ways. And some women, your life was going on fine until the man now entered. But now I see they took you from heaven to hellfire. You want to be single, continue being your singleness. Amen. I know someone that said, he that findeth the wife, findeth the good thing, and obtain favor.
Until he got married, he saw that favor. He was actually somebody's name. He remembered that it is actually Proverbs that said, you know, I told you people, Proverbs is equality. All things being equal. And obtain favor. This is how you know obtain favor. He got married, lost his job. He tried to do Uber. Want to clash. Your favor, that is real favor. Bro, your favor is a favor.
Amen. Amen. It is. You say, no, I'm using the Bible. It's Proverbs. Proverbs is all things being equal. Have you not read in the scripture? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, you know the path from it. There's some people when they were growing up, they were attending their parents. Ah, bro, sister, ah. But when they grew up, like my roommate in school, whose father is a pastor, the Bible he was using was imported, was brought all the way from Israel. If you see that Bible, gold, very gold. For that Bible, I never saw him use it only but once. The day he brought it out, he wasn't even using it, he was cleaning his cupboard. Ah! I almost called his name. I said, ah! You know, what he said, this is the word! Ah!
But you know what? Bro,
Hey, he doesn't, we are in school. All the while we were roommates, he didn't attend church one day. Church on Sunday, he would not attend. The once he went for fellowship was because he wanted to toast a girl. And he followed the girl to fellowship. And when he discovered that the girl was using fellowship to do follow-up, he ran away. Amen. Up of Jesus. Amen. One day, when I asked him, come. I'm trying not to mention his name. Come, chairman. You and God now they quarrel. They have to ask him, oh, you know, you get beef with God.
Because I was a medical student and I still was. The guy now said, his father is a pastor. And in fact, he used to do this. That was how he was trained. He was trained to pray in the morning. Some of you, when you were growing up, they used to wake you up with bed. You come and pray early in the morning. That is the way you should go. Now you have grown up. You are not staying on your own. You cannot even do chain prayer. We do chain prayer every morning. You cannot even pray. I thought train up a child the way you should go.
Amen. That is all things being equal. You understand me? As some children today who are drinking, who are smoking igbo, is it that their parents didn't train them well?
No.
But you know what? When they grew up, they departed. They didn't just depart. They kicked the bucket. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, just be calming down.
Amen. So where were we? Okay, 18. Okay. I have something in my notes here. Okay, I said the ribs, Abby. Now, let me. Now, when Moses writes Genesis 2 from verse 18 into that 23, Moses was coming at their practice. It was, I call it a direct confrontation at the patriarchal system. It was direct. In fact, when he says it's not good for a man to be alone, it was not referring to a man to be without a woman. No, who's can be writing that? Yeah, we have seen that man is humanity now, right? So what he now does is this. And it's not good for a man to be alone. He uses the word, I'll make him and help me. That is the word Izah. Izah in the Hebrew. It's a word that is used alone for God. It's a word that is used what? Alone for God. No woman is called Izah. See, let's run through some scriptures. Exodus 18 verse 4. There are some names, there are some words that are reserved for God. Is that Jesus? Exodus 18 verse 5, are you there? And the name of the other was Eleazar, which is the son of Aaron. For the God of my father, he said, was my help. Did you see that? Eleazar means the God of my father was my help. Are you following me? Deuteronomy 33, 7. He says, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hand be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Who will be his help? Who will be his help? God. Look at verse 26. He said, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help. Do you see that? And in his excellency on the sky, in thy help, God. Do you see that? 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. Did you see that? Who is the shield of thy help? God. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 20 verse 2. It says, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Who is it talking about? It says, the Lord, verse 1. Hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. He sends thee help from the sanctuary. So who sends thee help? God. Hope you are following that. Psalm 33 verse 20. All through scripture, there was never a time his eyes used for a woman. 33 verse 20. It says, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Can you see? Psalm 70 verse 5. Are you there? Say, I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me. O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. Can you see this? Go to God. Psalm 89 verse 19. Then thou speakest in a vision to thy only one and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Who are you talking to? The Lord. I mean, the Lord is talking about what he will do. Verse 18, for the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Then thou shalt thou speak in a vision to thy only ones and said, I have laid help upon. Did you see that? So he's God. Talking about God. Psalms 115. Verses 9 to 11. It says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. Amen. Psalms 121, verse 1 into 2. Is the one I say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. The Lord. Did you see that? Psalms 124, verses 8. He says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heavens and the earth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Psalms 146, verse 5. Say, happy is he that had the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Did you see this? Hallelujah. So when he said it's not good for a man to be alone, it implies it's not good for man to be without God. So he's making reference to Genesis 1:2. Heaven, the earth was without form, but it's not good for the earth to be without the heaven. That's what he's saying. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following that? So the helpmate will be God. And Moses will also now use an imagery of a woman in verse 21. Hallelujah. That use of woman there, of the woman there, is imagery to point to something. Hallelujah. So he will illustrate it with a woman. And what is Moses doing? Moses is giving a pushback, like I said. He's giving a pushback to the culture of their day. Genesis 2, verse 21. Hallelujah. It's a pushback. So when he uses the word in verse 21, the Lord causes a deep sleep. The deep sleep there is used for vision. We're not looking at that. Now he says he took one of his ribs. That word ribs, look at it. That word ribs, before I begin to think the word ribs they refer to somewhere here. That is stupidity. That word ribs is the word Tesla. Tesla, T-S-E-L-A. Tesla in the Hebrew. It is also a temple language. In fact, it is used for only the temple. Do you see that? So to make you know that Moses was not writing marriage, woman and man. No. Are you following me? Are you getting it? Well, he said took ribs. Ribs, we're going to look at all the scriptures now. Ribs was never used for a part of the body. So when you see Moses writing and say, and he took ribs from the man, it is imagery. It's temple. So his audience, remember we are reading like we are sitting in the seat of Moses' audience. So when his audience hears Tesla, what comes to mind is temple. Hope you are following me. So you find Tesla in Exodus 26. Exodus 26, 20. Are you there? It says, for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. It's used for sides. Sides of the temple. Sides of the temple. Look at 26, 26. Look at verse 26. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood. Five for the boards of one side of the tabernacle. It's used for the tabernacle. Are you following me? Look at verse 27. It says, and five bars of the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars of the boards of the other side of the tabernacle for the two side westward. It's used for the sides of the tabernacle. Are you following me? In verse 35, it says, for thou shalt set the table without the veil, the candlestick over and against the table on the sides of the tabernacle towards the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. Sides of the tabernacle. Chapter 36. So you don't think it's just one chapter I just read from. Chapter 36. It's only used for temple. Verse 25. Talking about the ark. Look at verse 25. It says, and on the other side of the tabernacle, that is the word side of the tabernacle. This is that side. That is the word Tesla. Which is south, which is towards the north corner. He made 20 boards. I did a study and I'm surprised I didn't have it there. On the other word used for like a physical reef, it was, you discovered that Moses was not talking about ribs. He was talking about sides. But they are not to say, so this word is used for temple all through scripture. It's temple side. Amen. Are you following that? That's why you need to, you know, when somebody just come and give you bedtime or tea time message, you know there is tea time message, such time message, and the Lord! Hallelujah. Thank you to God. It's called, it is for temple. Something you have to look at critically. Verse 31. We'll see some other things. And he made bars of shittim wood. Five wood for the board on one side of the tabernacle. Tabernacle 2. 32. The same thing. Chapter 37 verse 3. You find it too. For the ark. It said, and he cast for it four rings of gold to be set by the four corners of it. Even two rings upon one side of it and two rings upon the other side. The ark in the temple. Hallelujah. So, Moses used the word specifically for the temple. Tabernacle. So what Moses is saying is that in God's tabernacle, what you find in the size or as the size of the tabernacle will be male and female. Did you see that? Moses is still on the temple explanation. He has told you, you will find it the image. Let's make man in our image. You find male and female in the image temple. Now he says, he went further again. Now he says, see, and the size of the tabernacle, you will find the woman and the man. This is the pushback.
is a pushback. Hallelujah.
I call it a pushback to the patriarchal system in their world. And it's... Glory to God. Years back, like 2 years back, for the first time I heard Pastor Shegu say Moses was an intellectual. You know, having going back again to reread how Moses writes, Moses is truly an intellectual. He's an intellectual. Look at how he was able to pass across the message.
Intellectual. He, the guy is good. Guy.
The guy is good. Amen. This one, see, I want to say this, it might be an exaggeration, but I know it can also be proven. In their day, Moses was one of the best intellectuals. The same thing you have with Isaiah, and even with Paul. Intellectuals. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So the question one will ask will be, but God described the children of Israel as sons. Is God not patriarchal? Did you see that? If you look at Exodus 4, God described the children of Israel as sons. That is patriarchal. I'm teaching
your patriarchal patriarchal system
and feminism. Yet I'm answering questions that men are asking. Did you see that? I have to answer all the questions. If you read Exodus 4 verse 22, look at what Paul, let's look at it. He said, and thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So someone will say, is God not patriarchal? He called the whole nation of Israel son, right? Because what we have just read now is Moses' pushback on patriarchal system, right? Remember, Moses did not say anything like feminism, no. He says equal, right? Male and female, you find them in the temple equal. In God's presence equal, right? I want you to follow that closely. Now, doesn't that make God patriarchal? Well, you will say this. My answer to this is, reason why any would make such assertion will be because of lack of proper study of the word son. The word son. Let's quickly look at how Moses used the word son. The word son. That is the word ben. Ben in the Hebrew. Ben. B-E-N. Beni. Or Beni in the Hebrew, sorry. Not Beno, not Benji, Beni. That word Ben is used for an heir. The word Ben is used for an heir. One who inherits your responsibility and your office. Majorly. One who inherits your responsibility and your office. Let's get to Genesis 22 verse 2. Genesis 22 verse 2. And God said to Abraham, he said, and the Lord said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall give thee thereof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in Genesis 22, where I just read, Isaac is called Abraham's only son. Abraham's only son. Whereas, Abraham has a son also called Ishmael. In Genesis 16 verse 5. Genesis 16 verse 15. And Hagar bare Abraham a son and called this name of the son which Hagar bore Ishmael. Ishmael. Did you see? So Abraham had a child before Isaac. Yet Isaac is called Abraham's only son. Because in Isaac, you will find God's covenant with Abraham extended. You see that? Why is Isaac called Abraham's only son? So that means
the concept of sonship. The concept of sonship is
it's not just okay, something we have to look at. Just relax. I don't want to jump the gun. Okay. The writer of Hebrews, let's all see. In Hebrews 11 verse 7 into 17 into 20. Hebrews 11, 17 into 20. Look at what it says. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. That is Genesis 22, right? And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son. He called Isaac again his only begotten son. Remember the same word used for Jesus in John, right? Only begotten son. Of whom it was said in that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. He said, by faith, Isaac. You see that? By faith. So that means Isaac was chosen because of faith. Isaac was called the son of Abraham because of faith. Hallelujah. Because of faith. The son of Abraham because of faith. Because of faith. Because he believed. This will come out shortly. Also, he's called the only begotten too. You can say, you know, another person that is called only begotten will be who? Jesus, right?
Right? And it will be used because of what? Uniquely. How it was uniquely born.
No, Isaac too was born uniquely. He was born at Sarah's old age. It was a miracle. Jesus too was born as a miracle. But beyond this, for Isaac, why he was called the son of Abraham, not just because of he was uniquely born, like by miracle, but also because he believed. Are you following me? So that is why the writer of Hebrews will say, by faith. Are you following me? By faith. Let's see something else quickly. Isaac had two sons, right? Esau and Jacob, right? Esau was chosen and Jacob wasn't. Why? Moses, it's God's right of election. No, that was not. I mean, Jacob was chosen and not Esau. Hallelujah. Why? Moses, it's God's right of election. Election, no.
It's because you don't understand the concept of election. Hallelujah. The concept of election is by believing. Once you believe, you are God's elect.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. See, no, God, there are some people that are God. I have someone that was in 2016 argued this out with me
that he was reading from Romans. He said, that's what Romans was saying. He said, the two children, that there are some people that God just hates naturally. That God did not just like Esau from his mother's womb. He said, the two children have not even committed. I said, it is not true. God is not like that. Hallelujah. And we went through schools. So I was able to show him that thing. Okay? Even without even knowing what I know to do. If it is nothing I know, that one I know it. Hallelujah. That one I know it. It was just hallelujah. Glory to God.
Maybe by 2023, when we look at the book of Romans, I will have to do that explanation also. Yeah, 23-24, we'll look at the book of Romans. Amen. So no rush. How are you rushing to? Is there? Are we not still here?
Yeah,
even if we teach it 2050, we are still here. Glory to God. Amen. No rush. Amen.
We are here. Just keep learning. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. See how close I am. I can get some close. Amen. Maybe people are sitting down. Yeah, I'm standing like I'm praying. I hope you do. Okay. Esau was rejected, or Esau was not chosen. Jacob was chosen. Was that what I thought? Let's look at Hebrews, the same Hebrew, right out of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Just the chapter after that. In chapter 11, Esau was not mentioned. Let's see what he says concerning Esau in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 16, Hebrews 12, 16. He says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. You see that? They called Esau a profane person. Now look at that word profane. That word profane is a word, it's from the Greek word bibalos, in the Greek, bibalos, B-E-B-A-L-O-S. It's a verb of the word, it has a verb. The verb is bibalo. Now, bibalo means to discriminate. To discriminate. In 1 Timothy 1:9, it says, knowing this, that the law is made for a righteous man. It's not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, that is the word profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers. Chapter 4 verse 17. Chapter 4 verse 7. He said, but refuse profane and old wives' fable, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. So, talking about old wives' fables, which is lies, you speaking. Hallelujah. Chapter 6 verse 20. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. He called profane vain babblings and opposition of signs. Falsely, so called. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So it is used for to speak ill, to speak vain, to speak bad of. It's called vain babblings. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So when I get back to Genesis 25, the story of Esau and Jacob. Hope you are following me. The people are just looking at me. If you have lost, just find your way out. Genesis 25. Verse 29. It says, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at this point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Why is it? He sold his birthright. That's going to come out soon. Some people think birthright is... let's see what birthright is. So the birthright... The birthright here. Let's see a place where we'll find the word birthright. Now we understand what birthright is. Genesis 43, 33. Genesis 43, 33. It says, and they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright. That is before Joseph. He's talking about Reuben, when they came to Egypt, according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled at one another. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You find it also in 1 Chronicles 5. First Chronicles 5, verse 1 into 2. He said, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, you see that firstborn, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defied his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. The sons of Israel, you see that the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, the son of Jacob. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. You see that? For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and out of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph's. You see that? Hallelujah. So the word birthright is the right of the firstborn child. that will make him stand in the stead of his father. You see that? Make him stand in the stead of his father. Isaac. Especially Isaac. So similar to Isaac and Ishmael, in Genesis 20 verse 17, Abraham is a prophet. Isaac being the only son will imply Isaac too is a prophet. Did you see that? So the only begotten son there will be, Isaac is the one with the best rights. Did you see that? He will stand in the stead of his father, a prophet. So Esau's rejection of the birthright is a rejection of God's call, a rejection of God's promise. That's how Moses writes it. Moses is writing God's promise. And remember, he's writing about God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's writing it in their lifestyle. Did you see that? In their day, in their story, you find God's story. So he said, when Esau rejected that birthright, he rejected the office of the prophet, which Isaac operated in, and Abraham. Are you following me? So it's a rejection of God's promise also. Are you following me? Come on, are you following me? So the concept of sons is believing in God's promise, and it is based on the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 3. Now, listen. So Israel, which is Jacob, right? We read Israel as Jacob, right? Right? Now Israel, which is Jacob, called the son of God, is to be traced back to the same promise. Which promise? In Genesis 12:3. Hallelujah. Now, not because they believed God individually, or that they have a national belief, no. But because of the same promise made to Abraham. Do you see that? Because of the same promise made to Abraham concerning the children of Israel, which we read in the first section, Exodus 4:23, God now calls Israel God will now have to call Israel his son, his firstborn. Hallelujah. And the word firstborn there is the word Bakori. Bakori. It's from the root word baka or bikor. It's used for a model child. Used for a model child. It's bikor. So what God is saying, Israel is my bikor, a model child, to show that Israel is the model, or put, is a shadow. Okay, another word, the word bikor is used for the one who opens the womb. I skipped that. So that means that Israel is a shadow of God's sons. There will be men who believe in God's promise fulfilled in the redemption. That will be who Jacob, right? Come on, right? The men who believe in God's redemption. So that will be the concept of sons. The concept of sons will not be, his sons means his man, no. The concept of sons is everyone who believes. Hallelujah! It's called a son. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah! So the son is not used for male, or the male child, no, but it's used for believing. Romans 8:9. Look at Romans 8:9. Hope you are seeing the way we are reading scriptures. Romans 8 verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9. If you're there, I read. It says, but you are not in the flesh but in the spirit, if so that the spirit of God dwells in you. If any man have not the spirit of God, is not of his. Am I reading? Have I skipped something coming? Okay, 19:14 now. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that word led is the word ago in the Greek. It's used for a birth. It's used for the new birth here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So So he says, as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So to believe in Jesus Christ is to be a son, irrespective of gender. So his sister can say, I'm a son. Are you hearing me? I'm a son. Not saying, oh, Sammy Jeff says I'm a son. Because Alon says, I'm a daughter of a dad. You are sons. Hallelujah. So you can lay the same claim and say, I'm a son. Hallelujah. Are you a son? I'm a son. Hallelujah. I'm a son. Say, I'm a son. Irrespective of gender. Hallelujah. We are sons. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Look at verses 19. He said, the earnest expectation of the creation wait for the manifestations of the sons of God. The sons of God there will be both male and female who believe in the Lord Jesus, right? 1 John 3, 1 to 2, writing to believers. I mean, in writing, which will also include both male and female. 1 John 3, 1 to 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Did you see that? We should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. So both male and female, we are called sons. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Showing you that God is not patriarchal. It's not a patriarchal God. That is, it's not gender bias. God is not gender bias. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To further buttress it, there are also scriptures that shows God's motherly traits and fatherly traits. You see that? That shows God's both motherly traits and fatherly traits. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy 14:1. Deuteronomy 14 verse 1. I guess I'm running fast now, right? Eh? Let me be fast here. But I'm not giving room for getting to the end. Amen. Deuteronomy 14:1. Let there be light at the end of the tunnel. Deuteronomy 14:1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Are you with me? It says, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourself, nor make any badness between your eyes for the dead. Hallelujah. Fatherly trait. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. That is God's fatherly trait. Look at 32 verse 6. Deuteronomy 32 verse 6. Just a few. I'm just looking at two so that we have. How about that there, but we just keep that for now. Hallelujah. Fatherly trait 32 verse 6. Do ye thus require the law, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Had he not made thee and established thee? He calls God the father. He calls God the Father. Hallelujah. Let's look at other writers. 2 Samuel 7 verse 14. 2 Samuel 7 verse 14. Are you there? He says, I will be his father and you will be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. You see that? Father the trait. You find it also in Psalm 68 verse 5. Psalm 68 verse 5. It says, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Can you see that? All that scriptures where you find God's fatherly trait, you find Psalm 89 verse 26, Psalms 103 verse 13, Isaiah 63 verse 16, Isaiah 64, 8, Jeremiah 3, 4, 31, 9, Malachi 1, 6, Malachi 2, 10. I'll take that again. Psalm 68, 5, 8, 9, 26, 103, 13, Isaiah 63, 16, Isaiah 64, 8, Jeremiah 3, 4, Jeremiah 31, 9, Malachi 1, 6, Malachi 2, 10. Hallelujah. Let's see how Moses uses motherly traits for God. Please.
Okay, let's continue.
Motherly treat, right? Genesis 1 verse 2. Genesis 1 to motherly treat. And the earth also started from my word, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovers, moves upon the surface of the water. When he uses that word moves, hover, is the word in the Hebrew rakav. Rakav. R-A-C-H-A-P-H. Rakav. It implies to brood over, to flock her over like a mother eagle. To flock her over. Moses uses it in Deuteronomy 32, 11 into 12. Deuteronomy 32, 11 into 12. It says, as the eagle stirs up her nest and flocks over her young, spread abroad her wings, take them, bear them on her wings. So the Lord did. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Moses used the mother eagle as an imagery to describe God's work to deliver the nation of Israel from bondage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So use the mother, so that is motherly trait. Motherly trait of God. Also, they had scripture that described the nation of Israel using a feminine gender. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel 1:24, Israel is called with a feminine gender. Daughters. It's called the daughters. Let's look at 2 Samuel 1. Samuel 1:24. Look at what it says. It says, ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothes you in scarlet with other delight, who puts an ointment of gold upon your apparel. You see that? Hallelujah. So Israel is described with a feminine gender. So it is clear that God is not a gender-based God. Rather, in the redemption, you will have the male and female as one in God's new creation. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament books, we can also see that women played a major role. Women played a major role. Hallelujah. In Judges 4:4, Judges is after Joshua. Judges 4 verse 4. So a judge in Israel was their ruler before they ever had a king. Are you hearing me? So look at Judges 4:4. Who ruled Israel? And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot, she judged Israel at that time. So she was their judge. Did you see that? A judge in a world where men were supposed to be a dominant figure. Where a world that is a show of strength. Hallelujah. You know, some people say women are emotional beings. No. No. Don't ever believe that nonsense. You say, you know, and some people now say, you know, we are emotional. In fact, some people, I heard someone say, it is our wiring. Who wired you? You know, we are wired that way. It's not only wired. We are robots. I say we are wired that way. How can you say you are wired that way? Hallelujah! Stop all those things. You know, those things are also crept into how we reason. Even some of what has delivered. Say, oh my gosh. Don't mind them. They are wired. Some people say, you know, we are wired to talk. We are wired to be gossip. You are not well. We are wired that way. You know, we are emotional. Things touches our hearts. When so your own heart knows. Say that nonsense. Hallelujah. You are taught from God's word. Not to say things like that. God needed to deliver the children of Israel, the Jews. He used Esther. These are not things. It has nothing to do with emotional.
Emotional intelligence. Stop those nonsense. You know, today in our world, they say the world has moved from strength to people who have emotional intelligence. You are waking someone. Look at you. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So in your world, say listen, you hear some sisters, some women, they will say, you know, we are emotional. And that is one agenda that the feminists are actually pushing, that the world has moved. Listen, they will say the world has moved. The feminist movement of our day, the world has moved from a... I heard this from Sandra Ezekwesili. Those of you who listens to Nigerian Info, say the world has moved from a world of man's dominance of strength, that you don't longer need the strong to rule the world. Now you need people who are emotionally intelligent, and that is how women are wired. No, you know, they say women have IQ, intelligence quotient. No, are you hearing me? Even if the world has moved from strength to IQ, yes, the woman, let me borrow your word, the woman is wired the same way as the man. There is no different wiring if it's wiring that you are used to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no different wiring. Stop saying that nonsense. Hallelujah. We didn't find the boy that used emotions. The reason why some people are now so, especially ladies, are now so used to any little thing they break down in tears is because you have been told and you now believe. That is how you are wired. So any little thing just make me cry. Nonsense. Amen. Say any little thing just make me cry. Have you heard a man, it's just some weak guys out here say, a woman broke my heart. But you know, you find it among ladies, say, ah, he broke my heart. How can he just break my heart? Amen. Are you hearing me? Good or not? Some people will just think it's only women. Ah, we are emotional. Emotional. It's not true. Hallelujah. Everybody is emotional. Are you hearing me? Listen to what I say. Eh? Listen to me. Everybody has emotions. It's emotional. In fact, it is said that humans are emotional beings. But you know what? It's the ability to take what makes you strong, what makes you thrive above emotion, is the ability to control that emotion and direct it the right way. Are you hearing me? That was say Jesus saw people that he had compassion for. Right? He's a guy. Hallelujah. He's a man. He had compassion for them. Are you hearing me? So that means everybody has got the emotion. It's how you now direct it. That's what is important. Deborah judged Israel. I didn't judge out of sentiment. I didn't judge emotionally. No. Hallelujah. In fact, I love the word of Esther. We'll get to see that soon. In Esther, the Bible says Esther said at the point, if I perish, I perish. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What is the name of his uncle? Mordecai. He said, if you don't stand for the children of Israel, then you will say the Lord will raise it. Hallelujah. God will call someone that will do it. God has always been in the business of raising men. Say you are hearing me. So leave all those nonsense. You know, my emotional... Stop talking nonsense. Hallelujah. We have people even in the Old Testament, and, you know, God did it deliberately. And it was a pushback.
to the world. In the world they had, in the world they had men dominant, but in Israel they had a judge who was a woman, and she won battles. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In the days of Esther, women were treated as rags. I said that, right? And yet, women can get favors from the king. But Esther made up her mind. She went into the king, into the king's chamber. She made up her mind, and she got what she wanted. So this is redemption. Hallelujah. Because of one singular action of Esther, the whole chain of Israel was saved from death by Haman. I mean, death prepared by Haman.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can say that story very well because that story was a prayer point for years. Amen.
The plan of Haman against Mordecai was set back to Haman the way he planned it against Mordecai.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we have people who rose to the hems of affairs in Israel. Who even helped in delivering people. In fact, we have a prophetess in scriptures. Her name is Miriam. In Exodus 15 verse 20. Miriam was called the prophetess. Hallelujah. Later on we'll get to see more. I guess I have that upstairs somewhere. Okay. Are you there? Verse 20. It says, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took, do you understand me? Hallelujah. Miriam was a prophetess. 2 Kings 22 verse 14. Verse 14. It says, so Hakilia the priest and Hakim and Achibok and Shaphan and Asahiah went into Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the colleague. And they communed with her. So a woman was a prophetess that men came to. Mark that word. She was a prophetess and men came to her to inquire of the Lord. Men. So you see that women were prophets, right? Prophetess. That means they were God's spokesperson. It was not restricted to man. Hope you are following this. Even in the Old Testament book. Is it about Sarah? Look at what the writer of Hebrews says to us concerning Sarah. Sarah. I'm surprised I made this commentary somewhere. Sorry. What was it? I made a commentary somewhere. I don't want to see this twice. Sorry. Okay. Look at the writer of Hebrews. Sorry. I thought I made that commentary somewhere, but I didn't. Writer of Hebrews. Okay, are you there? Look at verses 13. We start from 13, 33, 35. Chapter 11. Surprised I didn't have it in my notes. I thought I did make that commentary somewhere.
Okay, it says, through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. You see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Remember, look at what they said. Who received the strength to conceive? Was it Abraham? Was it? Very important.
How I wish you understand the import of this. Glory to God. It was Sarah that had the strength to conceive, not Abraham. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see strength to conceive seed, and it was delivered, and she was delivered of a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Glory to God. She judged him faithful. She was a believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Look at someone else in verse 33. We're coming there now. Her name is... Sorry, not 33 yet. Yes. 31. See, by faith, the harlots, Rahab. You remember Rahab? Hallelujah. Perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies in peace. That was when she was not received the spies, right? I mean, she perished not. So by faith she received the spies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
She hid them. No, no, no. She hid them.
The spies are like, permit me, the spies will be like, let me use the word, apostles, right? They were sent, right? And when there was Rahab hid them. She delivered God's children. Hallelujah. She rescued or she protected God's children. And she was a harlot and a lady. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Verse 33. He said, look at verse 33. He said, what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell about Gideon, about Barak, and so on. Okay. Verse 33. Through faith subdued kingdom. Verse 35. Let's just read down. In a true faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women, do you see that? Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, women, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were asunder, they were tempted, were slain, were sore. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world are not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and in caves of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Women were part of the hall of fame of faith. We're part of the elders of faith. Women. So God is not sexist. He's not sexist. He's not a gender biased God. No. No. Hallelujah.
Where will you find gender biasness in their world? But in God, He sees man and woman as equal.
Are you following me?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Okay. Something else to see. Women in Jesus' Also, women were seen in Jesus' ministry, and they were very instrumental. Very instrumental. In John 4, we saw the woman of Samaria, right? Right? The woman of Samaria in John 4. Let's see something about the woman of Samaria. She was with Jesus, right? Jesus was done teaching, talking to her. And what happened? In verse 28, the woman left her water pot, verse 28, and went away into the city and said to the men. She went to who? Went to the roof.
Amen.
Hey, yeah.
It was deliberate. She went to the roof.
Amen.
Remember their word. The patriarchal system thing, Jesus has also shown you that in his word to Matthew 19:8, there was also a patriarchal system, right? Right? So she came to the men.
In fact, I will show you two things now. That you know that they had a patriarchal system. But first of all, she came to the men. Say, come and see. Which was told me. I mean, come and see. Who told me all? A man who told me all I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Did you see that? So a woman was an apostle to the men. Did you see that?
An apostle means sent one. She was sent to the men. Did you see that? It was a pushback. And it was deliberate.
I see that. Pushback. But look at the report of the men. Yes, you know. When the men came now, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me of everything I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, but he abode 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said to the woman, look at what they said to the woman, the men, look at what they said to the woman. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Patriarchal system. I'll tell you why it's patriarchal system. In their world, in their world, the same thing with the word of Moses.
Women's reports were not taken as anything serious. You don't receive, if you come to a court, or if you come to a judge, and you say, who do you have as a witness? And you say, I have Mrs. Dorcas Tekewa. And she comes. And the moment they see the lady, they say, please take her out. She's not a valid witness. Women will never use her for witness. Are you hearing me? That was the word.
A witness from a woman is never taken serious.
I hope you are following me. But now, did you see that? Now, who did Jesus now send to a whole city? A woman. And when they were done, they had not believed though, they had not told the woman.
We did not believe it because of what you told us. Or because of what you have heard ourselves. Why did you go and meet him? Was it not she that came to tell you first? So you can see. But because they wanted to have a disclaimer that it's not the woman. Do you understand? Because it's a woman. How can I believe the report of a woman? A whole city, a woman. Do you understand? That was patriarchal system in their world.
But you know what is the main thing? The message got to a whole nation because of the woman.
Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God. Whatever which way they want to read it, it got to a nation because of a woman. Glory to God. All these are pushbacks. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10. We're only tackling by Chaika. We're not in touch for me.
Yeah. I love Jesus.
Help us, Jesus. Okay, Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into his house, and he had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Now Mary had a sister, Martha had a sister by name Mary.
Bible says, he sat at Jesus' feet. Sitting at Jesus' feet,
I've said that to you, it's not literal. It doesn't mean that Jesus came and,
he now said, and welcome Jesus. Now came and sat on his leg. No. To sit at his feet is a word used for discipleship.
Jesus is a word used for discipleship. If you read Acts 22:33, the Bible talks about Paul was he was a disciple of Gamaliel. He sat at Gamaliel's feet.
Do you understand? He was a disciple of Gamaliel. In Acts 4:37, 5:2
talks about they brought things to the feet of the apostles. Doesn't mean the apostles were standing and they're not bringing things to the feet of the apostles. No, they were brought to the authority of the apostles. Do you understand? I'm just trying to be fast. That's good. go fast, very fast. So Acts 22:3, Acts 4:35, 4:37, Acts 5:2. It implies among Jesus' disciples was, you'll find Mary, who is a woman. Hallelujah. So Mary was also a disciple. So among Jesus' disciples, you have women. Are you hearing me? And also too, Martha too was a disciple. Though at this instance, she was actually busy cooking like MM would do. Hallelujah. No, did I say amen? No. Like Deborah would do. Glory to God. Amen. Cook semo.
Let me bring out. I remember then.
Now
she's consistent.
I remember then when she was not that consistent. She does not go for cell meeting. And anytime you ask, ah, where is Sister Simi? Where is she? Yeah. She's in the kitchen. What is she doing? Simi, why did you come for meeting? Say, I was turning semo.
I was turning semo.
One day she now said she was going to bring a radio degree for me today. She has gone to school and graduated. I've not seen a way. Stop yourself there. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So, Martha was like Sister Simi. Most times you need such people in the ministry. Yes. Because we have them in the ministry, your stomach will never go bad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another person you need to have in the ministry is Tekewa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, it's not hunger strike. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that we can eat more of two ocean kalpa. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people who don't know their ministry. But if you know you want to eat yam, you go and eat there. Amen. I didn't call a name. But if you put any name to what I've said, you are blessed. You go, if you tell them to fry the yam, they'll fry it with the back. Amen.
Amen. You will go. Hope you don't know anybody I'm talking about.
Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. So where were we? Can you cook? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So among Jesus' disciples, you will find women, Martha inclusive, Mary inclusive. Hallelujah. In Mark 14 verse 3, that same Mary that was a disciple in Mark 14 3, and look at Mark 14 3, she was the same person that anointed Jesus' feet. How about that? Mark 14 verse 3. The woman with the alabaster oil. Alabaster oil, rather. And being in Bethany, and being in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment or spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Hallelujah. Alabaster. Hallelujah. And it was believed that that woman is actually the same Mary. In John 12 verse 3. Oh, you're following me. John 12 3. And 6 days, verse 3. Okay. Then Mary a pound of ointment or spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. So it's actually Mary. We also have Mary Magdalene as part of Jesus' disciple. You find her in Matthew 27. Verse 56. Among the women was, now, other women too, they were found at Jesus' cross. Hallelujah. among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, that is James and John, right? In Matthew, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So these two sons of Zebedee, you remember them? Hallelujah. So they were all at Jesus's at the cross. They were there, they were witness to the crucifixion and things like that. And they were at his disciples. Hallelujah. In chapter 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and others to see the sepulchre. She was there at the resurrection. She witnessed the resurrection. Hallelujah. That's a witness the resurrection. She was there on the third day and saw that the place was empty. Right? Hallelujah. Let me know you should witness the resurrection. Then I will begin to propagate another gospel. Verse 7. Look at verse 6. They saw an angel and he said, "If he's not here, he's risen." Do you understand? So they came and they saw that he was risen. And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I've told you." Now, Mary Magdalene was the women, Mary Magdalene, and the other women, which is Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the children of Zebedee, went again and they were sent to the apostles. Said, "Go and tell his disciples." Hallelujah. In John 20, verse 12, look at how John will put it. John 20, verse 12. "And seeing two angels sitting, one on the head and another on the feet, and the body of Jesus had lain, was laid, and they said one another, Woman, why weepest thou? And I said to them, Because you have taken away the Lord." Okay. "And when she had thirsted, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And he said, Touch me not. And said unto her, Touch me not. Now, remember I've told you this. Touch me not means do not touch me further, right? Hallelujah. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and said to them, I sent to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told his disciples." Did you see that? So that means the women were apostles to the apostles. The apostles too had an apostle. Hallelujah. The women were the apostles to the apostles. They were the ones with the message. The ones that came with the message of the apostles that Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1, they were found with the disciples. Acts 1:14. The women, these same women, were found with the disciples. Acts 1 verse 14. He said, "And all this continued in supplication, in one accord, in prayer and supplication, and the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Say the women.
So the women will be the same women.
Hallelujah. We've been reading up, right? With the same women. I've been reading up until now. Sorry. Now, this implies that the women were also his disciples. Hallelujah. They were also part of his disciples. In Acts 2, 1 to 4, look at Acts 2, 1 to 4. In Acts 2, 1 to 4, the women. Now look at what it says. It says, and when the prayer of Pentecost really come, they were the one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, right, as of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, they said, divided tongues as of fire, and they sat upon them, and they all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in tongues, and the Spirit gave them more chance. Were the women part of them? They were part of them. Hallelujah. There's one Roman Catholic lie that I really need to debunk here, because I'm here now, I'm saying it. So we need to debunk here. That believe, and I had to debunk that years back, as far back as 2002, when I was in GS2, in front of one of my friends, when he said it's a big lie, that it looked as if it was Mary the mother of Jesus. That was how they did it, so soon as they can have that worship of Mary. It was just a big lie. Actually, where the Holy Ghost fell, that it was Mary that was at the center of it all, and Mary was at the middle, so she was the one that spread the tongues of fire upon their head. That was a big lie.
African magic.
See, no, don't call it African magic. That's what they believe. You get to see a Roman Catholic that actually does all those illustration of the cross. They will tell you. That at the center of it all was Mary. That the reason why the Holy Ghost had to fall was because Mary herself was there. Do you understand me? And that is a big lie. I had to debunk it. I said, why I had to debunk it was the fact that I said, look at what happened. Who spoke afterwards? It was Peter that spoke, not Mary. Do you understand me? Very important. In fact, I was there. I will show the person that Mary was not even there
when these guys were hustling in ministry. They still hustling in the
but how to debunk it? Because most times, as you go teach people, do evangelism, you might get to meet someone with such kind of notion, and you have to show the person. You don't need to fight the person, but with calmness and patience, show the person from scriptures. Hallelujah. That Mary was numbered amongst them doesn't mean Mary took the lead. Mary didn't take the lead. Peter was actually their leader. If you read from John chapter 21, Peter was their leader. Hallelujah. So Peter led Mary. Hallelujah. Though the women were apostles to the apostle, yet they were disciples of the apostle. Are you hearing me? Very important. Very simple. Glory to God. Amen. So in Acts 2:40, when they had 3,000 people saved, right? Those 3,000 people saved, were they only guys? No. Hallelujah. Both men and women, right? So when it's there, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
Was it going to be just men? No, men and women. Are you following me?
No, no, God.
Hallelujah. So, males and females. In Acts of Apostles chapter 8, Acts 8, look at verse 1. It says, and Saul was consenting to the death, unto his death, and there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad in the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and the boatmen carried Stephen to his burial, and made a great lamentation over him. For Saul made havoc of the church, entering into houses, hailing men and women, did you see, putting there, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Does it include women? Does it include women? So that means women too were preaching. Hallelujah. All these things will come alive shortly, very soon. So we found in the Old Testament women as prophets, right? We found women were the disciples, women got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues and gave interpretation, right? In Acts 2. Right? They spoke in tongues and prophesied in Acts 2. In fact, from Peter's explanation, he said, greeting from Joel, he said, I'll pour my spirit in the last days upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. He said, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Right? So upon my main servant and upon my maiden servant, will I pour out my spirit in those days? So you see the composition of male and female. Hallelujah. Male and female. So Now we've seen that women too preached the word, right? They will come out all together shortly. Remember, okay, that was what I've just said. Still on the book of Acts, in Acts 12, Acts 12 on verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose son name was Mark. This is John Mark, we read in the morning, right? John is the mother of Mark. Where many gathered together praying. So, like I said, it is believed here that John Mark's mom, who is actually a sister in church, it was believed that her house was used for church meetings. You understand me? Her house was used for church meetings. So females played a major role in the church, in the book of Acts, in the church. They played a major role. Look at Acts 9, before we run too far. Look at Acts 9, verse 36. We have someone by name called Dorcas, not Tekewa, but Dorcas Tabitha. Hallelujah. Verse 36. Hallelujah. And now there was a disciple named Tabitha. So Tabitha was a disciple which is also called Dorcas. Interpreted Dorcas. This one was full of good works and in alms deeds, which she did. Hallelujah. So Tabitha was called a disciple. Hallelujah. In verse 39, Tabitha was told to have ministered to the needs of the widows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was ministered to the needs of the widows. She sold clothes for them. She was industrious. Hallelujah. In Acts 16, we have a wealthy woman. Very wealthy. Acts 16. That is 11. Hope you are following me. After you are done yawning, you are right. Hallelujah. Therefore, losing from trust, we came straight to the coast, straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of before. Now that word seller of purple, in those days, if you are a seller of purple, you are a big businesswoman. So it was believed that Lydia was a big business tycoon. She was a big, like a Dangote of Nigeria. Hallelujah. And then she received the word. Did you see that? She received what she became. She is a believer. Take note. We have businesswoman who is a believer. Are you following me? Businesswoman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what did she do? The Bible says she welcomed the apostles. Right? Right? So she took care of the apostles. That is what it means. She took care of them the time they were there. She was a big business person. In Acts 18. In Acts 18. Don't forget what we're answering. Right? We're answering God's motherly trait. And then the relevance of women in the gospel. Right? Now in Acts 18. We have Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila is the husband. Priscilla is the wife. So Priscilla is the wife of Aquila. They were Paul's allies. In Acts 18, verse 26, they were Paul's allies. Look at verse 26. Sorry, what did I say? Sorry. sorry, Acts 18, verse 3, because they was of the, they were, I mean, because he was of the same craft, he abode there and wrote. Do you understand me? They had the same occupation. Acts 18, verse 3. Are you hearing me? So, in verses 18, where I'm going to, I mean, verses 26, they were allies. In verse 26, let's start from verse 25. This man, no, 24, the certain man called Apollos, born of Alexandra, an eloquent man, and mighty in scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he knew about God, about Jesus, only from John's explanation. I follow him. He only knew John's explanation. He couldn't do a complete diameneus for Moses. Only knew John. You understand me? So, eloquent. Hallelujah. But, so, verse 26, right? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him into them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. So they taught Apollos more perfectly. You see that? Aquila and Priscilla. They taught Apollos well. So meaning the woman or Priscilla also was involved in that discipleship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So can we say a woman became was a discipler? Yes. Are you following me? Glory to God. In Acts 29:21, verse 9. And the same man had four daughters, which is Philip in verse 8. Philip, they also Philip. Virgins, we call them virgins. That is, they were single. Hallelujah. Which did prophesy. So, Philip's children were called prophets, right? They prophesied. Take note of that. So we've seen women prophets. I mean, we've seen in the Old Testament book women as prophets, right? Seen women as prophets. We've seen it that in Acts 2, they spoke in tongues and gave interpretation, they prophesied, right? Right? Now we are seeing in Acts 8, they went about preaching. In Acts 18, a woman is a discipler. In Acts 21, women were called prophets, right? Okay. Let's look at Romans chapter 16 into the epistles now. Romans 16. I hope you are following me. Romans 16. From verse 1 into 2. I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Kenesaria. Hallelujah. He called Phoebe. Phoebe is a servant of the church. It's not of the church here, it will be is a leader of the church. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's the leader of the church. So that means women headed churches. I will end this. Amen. Women will call pastor. That's what they mean. Yeah. How can you call a woman a pastor? Can you see? In scriptures we have pastors. Hallelujah. Who are women? In verses 3, say, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ. You see that? Priscilla and Aquila, both male and female, were associates of Paul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Associates of Paul. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, 9. It says, let's see 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much more in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So they were pastors. Do you see that? With the church that is in their house. That means Priscilla and Aquila were pastors. Do you see that? Now back to that Romans 16. Where was I? Romans 16, 3 into 4. Great Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 4. Who have laid down their own necks, unto whom unto whom not only I give thanks, but also with the churches of the Gentiles. So he said they stake their neck. Hallelujah. Paul will say they stake their neck for him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 16, mention the names of some sisters there too. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, nice stories. So we have seen that though the patriarchal system existed in their world, yet in Christ we are to be treated as one equal before God. Right? Right? Can we see that? So tomorrow, don't come and tell me, is it because I am emotional, I pass, slap you. Be with your emotions. Say that to the whole Lord. Be with your emotions. When we say, I'm an emotional, that is how I'm wired. Not only wired. Amen. Satan has subtly entered these other people.
They are wired that way. They are wired that way. Let's play ball. You know, I'm not wired to play the ball. You have to play ball. You're playing ball like this. Your leg is... Hallelujah. You know, women are not wired to have strength. You can say that for yourself. Not that for other people. And some women, that if they catch a man...
Ah, oh, Jesus. If they catch a man... So don't say, so what happened to those guys? Say no. No, you now hear words like those ones are tomboys. You are not, as in you are not well. Hallelujah. Those ones are tomboys. It's not only tomboys. Amen. Don't get yourself to that point. Hey, that is the problem. And that is why we are sorting it out. Hallelujah.
Yes. Because a lot of people believe the work of the woman is the kitchen. No.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me answer that question. Some men don't know how to cook. You wouldn't blame them, but you trace it to the patriarchal system. Why? Because in much
what some of our fathers have known is that the women, if you are a lady, once you get to age 4 or 5, they will tell you, go and meet your mother in the kitchen. You get that? Then the man, the boys will go and watch television.
Can I just simple? Do you understand me? But, you know, those things are not right. As a man, you should be able to cook. Is not a duty delegated for the woman. We'll get to all that shortly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's no such thing as this is a woman's job. No. No. Hallelujah.
Okay, we don't go. I'm going to touch some. I'm going to get some things shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you get here some ladies? We tell them, which club do you belong to? They say, no, I don't do football. Football is for men. What is for women? 10-10. Look at your life. We say, you know what we used to do is 10-10.
Women cannot play. Is am I right? Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. No. Amen. In fact, our world, see, the patriarchal world, so that is why, if you watch how I started, what is my little note? How I started, I said, softly, I use the word softly. Softly. Our culture, even the normal English world, like the white man's culture, you know, subtly, there is just this play of patriarchal system where you see a guy, you say, give me 5.
And then you see a lady, and you say, help me. It's patriarchal.
Amen. Where a guy sees a guy, you say, guy, how far?
Chop, and then you see a lady, you say, I love you. Don't say that to a guy, why?
Are you following me? Pachaika. Amen. Amen. Let me show you a little video I watched, a short clip I watched some days back. How female twins and male twins react. Female twins, they were playing, and one got out, the other one excited, and he hugged the sister and pet the sister. Now the guy's twins, they were found playing games. No, now we were games are for boys. Washing dishes are for ladies. You see, it just comes to patriarchal system in our world. I will believe God that very soon we'll be able to surmount it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the guy, when one of the guys now scored, was not happy. They wanted to hug his brother. Or hugging the brother wanted to tell the brother,
the guy just gave me bro. Bro.
As something of that thing, that is Pachaika. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It just stopped. Glory to God. I'm not telling you to go and see a guy and say, come, let me kiss you.
So some things just leave it like that. Amen.
Amen. The guy. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You see, I paused to say it. Glory to God. Okay. Now, we have seen that though the patriarchal system existed in their world, yet in Christ, we are all treated as one, equal before God, right? Equal before God. That implies a woman can work and do the same job a man does. A woman can do the same job a man does. I've seen female mechanics before. Hallelujah. I've seen female mechanics, I've seen female bus drivers, female conductors. Hallelujah.
Yeah, a woman can do. Don't say my strength, no. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But when a woman gets pregnant, because of the fragility or how fragile pregnancy is, that's something she abstains from. Hallelujah. For that period. Just very simple. Use your brain. Use your common sense. Hallelujah. Yet with all this, in their world also, though there was patriarchal system in their world at different times, as we will see today, let me put it like this, where I have it on my note. Yet, with this, in their world, they had extremists, as we do today. Because up until now, patriarchal system still exists among many nations of the world, even in our culture in Nigeria. This led to women cults, what we call the women cults, even in right from thousands of years, women cults in Ephesus, women cults in Canaan, you know, just women cults. Even like I said, like in my notes, I have like in Moses' day, hallelujah, women cult. In recent times, we had also the Aba Women riots of 1929, which I said in my opening speech, which happened that women protested against how they were treated. Hallelujah. Also too, in our world today, in the 21st century, they've also been the rise of the feminist movement. In fact, with different ideologies, different feminist movements. Again, this is an extreme movement on another end, fighting for the emancipation of the girl child. I wonder what that means from scriptures, emancipation of the girl child. Well, to me, if I'm not being patriarchal, please, I'm not. But I feel the day that are shouting for the emancipation of the girl child, if they know how the girl child was treated in the ancient Eastern culture, they will know that the girl child has been emancipated, really. Just saying. Remember, I've not been patriarchal. I'm just trying to put things in parentheses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, like I said, emancipation of the girl child. What this movement have caused is women being disorderly. Listen, what this movement, this extreme, remember, one extreme to one extreme is patriarchal system. The other extreme is the feminist movement. What this has caused is women being disorderly, trying to fight the male gender, fighting for gender supremacy. So they can be seen as more superior gender. That is where you have the saying from, what a man can do, a woman can do better. It is all feminist in its approach. Hallelujah. The better shows feminism. Hallelujah. More superior in gender. What this has eventually led to is what is called matriarchy. Hallelujah. Superiority of the female gender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, we can still see from scripture the solution, because being extreme is never helpful. We can still see from scripture, what does God say about this? Hallelujah. A bit of it will start as we were looking at patriarchal system. But in answering this, hallelujah, many will now many believe that in 1 Corinthians 14 verses 34, let's all go there, because many people up until today have not been able to answer that question, and because of that, people just flood them. Then you say you're a pastor in your church and you're a female, can you explain 1 Corinthians 14, 34? You say, it was my pastor that ordained the pastor, so allow me. That is just just a funny answer. Hallelujah. Look at verse 34. It says, let your women keep silent in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also the law. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And they say Paul is patriarchal. They say Paul is patriarchal. He says women should stop speaking in the churches, right? Right? So what does it mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let me say what I have in my notes. Well, during this point, there was already a growing movement of the women called in Ephesus and around. They had a women cult. Hallelujah. And it was majored in Ephesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In their worship to Diana, the one of their gods. Hallelujah. So they had the female cult. Time will not permit me for us to have that discourse. Like as I said, we'll break this into sub-teachings in the course of the year, sub-teachings, so that we will further understand it. So whatever thing I'm saying now, I'll still sub-teach it again, 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 again. Put it in some form of teachings in the course of the year, so that you understand. So around that period, I will be able to still talk to you about the female court and how they had it in their world. Hallelujah. So they had, in that dispensation, they had a rise of the female court. And some people believe Paul was warning women not to talk in church and not to prophesy. Do you understand me? So because of the rising women cult, Paul has said no woman should talk in church. Also, some people believe so Paul was patriarchal. Paul was saying feminism is not of God. Being patriarchal is of God. That's what some people think. But is that true? Is that what Paul is saying? That's what Paul is saying. Let's do a contextual study of this statement. Hallelujah. First of all, in doing a contextual study of this statement, Paul, I want to debunk something now. Paul wouldn't have been saying a woman shouldn't preach or prophesy in the church. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verses 4 into verses 5. Look at what it says. It says, every man prophet praying and prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. And every woman that prayeth and prophesied with her hair uncovered, dishonors her head. So Paul is already saying a woman can prophesy. Right? Right? One. Now, who is prophecy to? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Come on. But he that prophesies speak unto men to edification, to exhort, and to comfort. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 5, I would that you speak in tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except to interpret that the church may receive a divine. So prophecy is to the church. Hallelujah. So Paul has already said in chapter 11 that women can prophesy. Do you understand me? So if he has said women can prophesy, in fact, in that same chapter 14, verse 26, verse 23, look at what he says in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Look at what he said. He said, therefore, if the whole church be come together, when he says the whole church, does it include men and women? Come on. Is it one and woman? And all speak with tongues. And they come in those who are unlearned and unbelievers, they don't say you are mad. And if all prophesy, that is, we can all come together and we prophesy male and female. So if Paul has said this in the same 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what he's saying in verse 34 couldn't have been the same. If not, he will be contradicting himself. Are you hearing me? So it wouldn't have been the same. So that means I have to study what Paul is writing about here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sometimes I hear people make that, I'm like, can't you just read? Can't you just read? Just read your Bible well. You will see that Paul can be contradicting himself. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it implies we have to investigate what Paul is saying in verse 34. Right? And also in 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, another place we'll find it is 1 Timothy 2 verse 11. One said, if you say that's not what Paul said, what about 1 Timothy 2 11? Let's quickly run there. Into 12. He said, let the woman learn in all silence. Learn in all silence with all subjection. He says, but I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So what are you now saying now? But the woman should not talk, should not preach. No, we're going to see that. Let's have a contextual study. The word woman. Woman. Are you with me? I hope you are following the teaching.
Yes.
You're understanding it, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, the word woman. You understand what I'm saying? You understand me? Who is lost?
Who is love? I want to go back now.
Yeah,
this is what I can go back to. Who is love?
Okay, let's continue. Okay. Now, the word woman is the word in the Greek, gune, G-U-N-E, gune. It is a word that is used for both woman and wife. Very important. It's a word. The Greek doesn't separate the difference between the woman and the wife. Are you hearing me? It's used the same way. Amen. So that means there are sometimes the writers will put woman and is referring to wife. And sometimes it's referring to woman and they put wife. The interpreters rather. So that means I have to do a contextual study. And I remember during our teaching on tongues and interpretation, I told us that what will bail us out will be what? Context. And whenever you see a writing and it's talking about man, there's man within the context of that writing. He's talking about a wife, right? Right? So I need you to follow me now because that is how we're going to be bailed out of all this. Okay. Hallelujah. Context will bail us out. So I said, if what he's saying is related to a man, then in most cases, he refers to a wife. Just like in 1 Timothy 2 verse 11 into 12, he's talking about a man. That means he's not saying let the woman learn to be silent. That only means let the wife. Let the wife. Remember, Timothy was in Ephesus, the heart of the women cause. Hallelujah. Where women cause actually was in Ephesus. Are you following me? So he said, let the woman learn to be silent. So when he said the woman is referring to who? The wife. Hallelujah. Oh, they're following me. The wife. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 14:34, that will also apply to 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let's look at 14:34. So automatically, we have seen that it
Paul can be talking about the church, right? Right? First of all, I'm talking about the church.
Because the guy says the woman should not prophesy in church. So that the woman came to keep quiet in the churches. So what does Paul call churches? First. What does he call churches? Let's just investigate, right? We are doing it, we are reading. Hallelujah. There are some times that when you read scriptures, you have to pay attention to details. Hallelujah. Pay attention to details. Look up for verses 20. Verses 27. He said, if a man speak in an unknown tongues, let it be by two or at most by three, and each by course, and let one interpret. Did you see that? But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, let him speak to himself and to God. Hallelujah. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. So he broke the church from the church now will not be seen as two or three. Hallelujah. So he has given you a guard, two or three. Hallelujah. Now, when he now says, let him keep silent in the churches, he has already told the churches where two or three believers are. Right? So that means he can also, that means I can call the Christian home a Christian church. Are you following me? I can call the Christian home a church. That's what he's saying. The Christian home is a church. So when he says churches, he refers to the Christian home. Are you following me? Husband and wife, believers. So what does that mean? That's not two or three. Hallelujah. That is a church. I hope you are following me.
So you have to see, you have to be in between the lines.
So when you read 1 Corinthians 14:34 into 1 Timothy 2:11-12, as we've seen, he's speaking concerning being in subjection to the husband. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, due to the women cult rising, it began to creep into houses. We're going to see that soon. It began to creep into houses. In fact, we find that in Paul's writing to Timothy too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we go. It began to creep into houses. Some women began to be lazy about, began to misbehave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some became violent, unruly in the family. In fact, this necessitated Paul's intense teaching in Ephesians 5. We're going to get to Ephesians 5 soon. Hallelujah. Paul had to intensely talk about this in Ephesians 5. Because history had it that women became violent. Because it's a fight against the male gender. The woman gender is superior. Amen. Amen. Just the same way too, during the about women call. I mean, about women riots. At the end of it, the women, one, just a man died and 16 women dead. Died too. So they were fighting the emancipation of the girl child. Interesting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was believed that it was entering into families, creeping into families, into, you know, the family system, woman cult, fights, let's fight, let's take our rights, these extreme movements. Hallelujah. What this implies is that though scripture teaches male and female is one and equal in Christ. Yes. Eh? Oh, sorry. Permit me to take something again. Crept into homes and then Paul now had to write a Ephesians 5. What was written in Ephesians 5? He's now teaching from Moses, teaching God's word for all of us to see what is God's take. Where is God in patriarchal and feminism?
Where is God? And that is where we are picking it from. Where is God? Feminism is an extreme. It's on the extreme. Patriarchy is on the extreme. Where is God? Hallelujah. And Paul will now teach what God wants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will teach that in the Christian home, there is order. He taught that in the church, there is order. Who put the order in the church? God. Hallelujah. In the Christian, I mean, in the church, there's order. So Paul will not teach. You have the elders, right? Right, those who are elders, and then you have those who are being taught. Is it God has said this in the church? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. They are said this in the church. Say first apostles, second prophet, third teachers. After that, you have order. Hallelujah. So those are God has set order. In Timothy, he wrote to Timothy that you know how you ought to conduct yourself, right? So God has set order. There's order in the church. The same way too, there's order in the family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as we are one and equal in Christ, yet in the Christian home, there's order. And the Bible teaches order also. Hallelujah. Bible teaches that order also. We are almost coming to the end of this teaching. Hallelujah. Almost. Amen. In Ephesians 5:21. We'll still come back to our 1 Corinthians and Timothy shortly. In Ephesians 5:21. Look at what Paul says. It says, 21, it says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. It then says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So you read that down to verse 33. Hallelujah. So Paul writing concerning Christ, Paul, in verses 3 shows us, so nevertheless, verse 32, say, this is a great mystery. I write concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And let the wife see that she reverences her husband. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That's what we honor. Hallelujah. So, listen to this. Paul, in writing concerning Christ and the church, he uses the Christian home as a mirror of that. Hallelujah. He's writing about Christ and the church, but he uses the Christian home as a mirror of that. That is, the Christian home should reflect the union of Christ and his church. We are one with Christ as a church. We are one with Christ. John 14:16. He says, I'll pray the Father, I'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you, save in the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because neither know him, neither sees him nor know him. Say, but you know him, for he shall be with you and shall dwell in you. Verse 18. He said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In verse 20, he now says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you know I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. So that means in the new creation, right? In our union with Christ, we are one with him, right? In John 15 verse 1 to 7, it says, abide in me and I in you. John 15, 1 to 7. In Romans 8, 9 to 10, where we read, it says, we have received Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, that is to be born again is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 17, it says, don't you know? I mean, say he who is joined to an harlot is one body with her. Say he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You see that? Our union. Don't you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you following me? So, in our union with God, in the new birth, we are one with Christ. Right? In that new birth, in that union we have with Christ, you cannot say, because you are one with Christ, you cannot say, I am the head of the body. No. You will be very stupid to say that. Hallelujah. He said, you know, Christ is the head and we are the body. Say, you know, because we are, you know, some people will not read the part. The other way, say, Christ is the head and we are the body. That word head is the word kephale, used for a source. And I say, no, because we are Christ. Where Christ is, we are. Hallelujah. So if Christ is the head, so we too, we are the head. True, alright. Hallelujah. Christ is the head. Glory to God. He is the head. So he is the head. Hallelujah. You can't say, you know, someone, Pastor Shevu shared with us, he said, someone now said, went to an answer, now said, you know, let's say tomorrow, God is no more. How do you think to God is no more? And you need somebody to replace God in the truth. You are not normal. He said, God will not look at you, will look at you. You can't be well. Amen. Just, you know, being, you know.
Amen. Glory to God. It was a story shared with us concerning something. So you can't say that. Inasmuch as we are one with Christ, yet he is the Lord. You can't say you are the Lord. If not, you'll be singing to yourself, I am ashamed of this. Right? Right? No, you are not the Lord. Glory to God. We are one with him, but yet he is the Lord. Are you following me? So Paul now brings that to the marital home. He now brings that to the Christian home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. It brings that to the Christian home. He said, yes, though we are one with Christ, there's order. Christ is the head. Hallelujah. Christ is the head. The same way too, we have order in the Christian home. Hallelujah. We have order in the Christian home. The order in the Christian home is not patriarchal. No. Hallelujah. It's not patriarchal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Look at that Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21. It says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. It's not patriarchal. Rather, he says you should submit yourself. In the Christian home, you submit to one another. Hallelujah. We submit to one another. Glory to God. Glory to God. And in submission, he calls the husband the head of the wife. Hallelujah. The head of the wife. And him being head doesn't mean he's head by giving command. Stand up, sit down, get out, come in. No. His head, just as Christ is the head, to say he should love. Hallelujah. 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 He says to love. Just as Christ loved the church. Did you see that? And gave himself. So you should love your wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So back to 1 Timothy 2. Are you understanding where I'm going to? 1 Timothy 2. You need to get me now. I'm trying to rush. I'm almost done. Amen. I'm a little stuff that we're having. Fear not. I don't want that. 1 Timothy 2, back to 1 Timothy 2, 11. So let the woman learn to keep silent and not subjection, but I suffer that the woman should not teach the rule. Okay. Now let's go back a bit. Let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. It says, in like manner also, that the woman adorn herself in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn silence in all subjection. Look at what he says. When he says in verse 9, not with broidered hair, in their word, broidered hair in their world was used to signify pride, unruly. When you use that word, those words used to qualify the woman there in verse 9 are words used for pride. Hallelujah. Women being unruly, what we call female dominance. That was what was used in their world. That was the ideology. Hallelujah. Female dominance, what we call today feminism in our world.
But rather, what did Paul say? The woman should be with sobriety, with humility. Hallelujah. So when I get to verse 11 and says, let the woman learn in all silence with all subjection. That word silence, is the word in the Greek, H-E-S-U-C-H-I-A. H-E-S-U-C-H-I-A. You'll find that word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. It says, now, them that are such will command by exhortation, by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness, that is the word quietness. Are you hearing me? Quietness. Quietness. In the word you find in Acts 22 verse 2. Acts 22 verse 2. It says, that it was silence there. Sorry, I had to quickly check that out. Acts 22 verse 2, that it was silence. And that's in 1 Timothy 2 verse 12. To be in silence. Hallelujah. That word speaks of submission. It is a word that is used for, that word is used for tranquility. Tranquility. Stillness. That is, not to excite, not to excite or incite disturbance in others. That's the word. So it's used to show humility. Not to excite disturbance. So he said the woman should not excite disturbance. Should not be, do not be unruly. That's what he's saying. Are you hearing me? When he says woman should learn in silence, in all subjection, it speaks of what woman should not cause disturbance, should not be unruly, should not cause uproar. You see that? He's warning them. That is, he says a woman should not be doing protesting human emancipation. Don't be found in that. It's extreme. It's unruly. It's pride. Hallelujah. Woman dominance. It doesn't make sense. You have just been an extremist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He uses another word in verse 12. He says, I suffer not a woman to teach. That word teach is the word didasco. It's used for how you give instructions, right? How you give instructions. And he calls it exercising authority or sort of authority. That is what he explained it to be. Hallelujah. No, exercise authority. That word authority there is not the word exousia, no. It's the word otentio. A-U-T-H-E-N-T-E-O. Otentio. It implies to be domineering. It's used just once, here alone. And it's used for to be domineering. So what Paul is dealing here is with feminism. Paul is dealing with feminism, with the dominance of the female gender, trying to an extreme movement of dominance, fighting for the dominance of the female gender, fighting their male counterparts. Paul is saying, no, that is not the order. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, that is not the order. We are equal before God. I'm not saying it's a patriarchal system where the man exercises dominance. No. Paul is saying, we are equal. We are equal. We are one before God. We are one in the new creation. Yes, we are one. Yes, we are one. Yes, there's order. Hallelujah. We are one. There's order. So, in verse 13, he runs down to verse 13 and says, Adam was first formed, then Eve. He showed you that we saw, when he said Adam was first formed, he said we first of all saw Adam before we heard of Eve. Are you hearing me? We heard of Adam first in Genesis before we heard of Eve. Hallelujah. So he's saying that is God's mode of what? Order. Moses did that deliberately too, to show you order. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He said it's order. And then, he now said something, he said, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. What Paul is doing here, he's throwing a clunk in the wind. Like I will throw it soon to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what he said is that it's order. The woman is, the man is seen first to show order. When I get back to Genesis 3 verse 16, put your hands in 1 Timothy, Genesis 3 verse 16. I'm concluding already. Genesis 3 verse 16. Think of what it says.
He says, unto the woman, he said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and in thy desire shall be, if you see what thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That is just order. Hallelujah. You know, the woman had already caused unbelief. Hallelujah. Let me put it in a very, very controversial manner. How do we controversial a bit? The woman has made the man to eat. Eat what? You just put that in your word. Put it in your day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he uses the word subjection to the husband, or that's the word mamshalo. I guess I didn't write that way. Is used also for submission. Hallelujah. Her desire. Okay, that desire is used for submission. Hallelujah. So let me get a bit controversial again. I want to be controversial here, but I'm not patriarchal. Eh? You know, it's because of lack of silence. Lack of silence is the reason why the woman was being deceived. Oh, yes, I said. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Lack of silence. She was just talking too much. What the book of Genesis? She was talking. She was the one that named all the children. She just was just talking. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, she was easily deceived. So Paul said, woman, learn silence. Hope I didn't say anything controversial. But I said it before. I said I was going to be controversial. So don't take it too hard. Hallelujah. Paul too said it. Yes, now Paul said it. Paul said, I'm just reading Paul. You see, I'm out of it. Oh, glory to God. Paul said, Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in transgression. This was the woman that was being deceived. Yes. Amen. Just don't mind me. I'm just trying to pull something out there. Boy, it's just the truth. There's order. The woman should learn. So in the house, there's order. What's the order? The man is the head of the home, right? But the man submits to the woman as the woman submits to the man. The man loves as Christ loves the church. The woman honors the husband. Hallelujah. As the church honors Christ. Justice. Hallelujah. Truly peacefully. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is neither is it. Don't deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because in Christ we are one. Amen. Are you following me? Glory to God. But in that our oneness, the same way in the church like this, we are one, right? We come together, we are one. But yet, in this our oneness, he said he has put some to have rule over you. Have we? Hey. Glory to God. I cannot be claiming I'm your senior brother in Christ. No, no. We are one. But no, in that in our oneness, I'm your pastor. Paul will say, in Christ, I am your father in the Lord. Right? Glory to God. So that means, even in as much as we are in Christ, yet there is what? Order. That is just it. And it happens like that in a Christian home. Order. Hallelujah. So, God's position is not patriarchal. Nor feminism, or what we call matriarchal, the fight of the emancipation of the girl child, the woman. No, that's not God's position, but that of love. God's position is that of love, mutual submission. Pack that and mark it well. For those of you who are already doing bedroom relationship, mutual submission and order should be in the family and society at large. Hallelujah. For the records, I'm giving you God's position. For the records, which I'm still going to explain in the coming days though, yes, I actually will stop here like this, that I can pick it up later on in the year. I'm not picking it up like a topic on its own. I'm not going to do any topic on its own like this, but just something to talk about Jesus is as we teach. I'll come about all of this again. Hallelujah. Something for the record, which we'll still look at in the coming days. This doesn't mean women can't work and get good pay or provide for their homes. No. It doesn't mean, because if you say, is a man that provides for the home, you are patriarchal in your thinking. Amen. The woman too can provide for the home. The woman too can get a job where she earns more than the man.
Who says the man's job that should earn more? No. The man can get a job. The man can earn more than the man. Hallelujah. The man can get a good job. And the man, yes, better than the man. The woman can even be the man's boss in the office. There's nothing stopping it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Acts 18, 2-3, we are closing now. In Acts 18, 2-3, we saw Priscilla and Aquila. They were both tent makers. Tent makers. In Acts 16:14, we saw Lydia, right? She was a wealthy businesswoman. Was a wealthy businesswoman. In 1 Timothy 5:9-6. Look at 1 Timothy 5:9-6. Sorry. 9-16, sorry. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been a wife of one man. Well reported for good work, if she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints, if she had revived the afflicted, if she had diligently followed the good work. But the younger widow refused. When they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And whither they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tatters, and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Is they here? Guide the house. Give no occasion to adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. He's addressing things in this world. And if any man or woman that believe have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. Hallelujah. That they may relieve them that are widows in this. If any man or woman. That means a woman too is charged with the tax of providing. Right? Hallelujah. In Ephesians 4:28. And this is where I will end. Ephesians 4:28. Glory to God. Amen. Ephesians 4:28. He says, let him who steals, steal no more. But rather, let him walk, labor, work with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give him that need it. He says, let him walk. Now, some people will think, this is talking about a male. No, not talking about a male. That word him there is the word in the Greek, H-O, in the Greek. It's the word that implies that, which, who, what, etc. So it's not say let him as a masculine. No, it's actually wasn't referring to a particular gender. Say let him. You can use the word let that. Let them. Hallelujah. So male and female inclusive. Glory to God. Glory to God. So where is God in all of this? God is not in patriarchal. God is not in feminism. Where God is where, I said it again, I'm going to say it again, is love. Mutual submission and order should be in the family and in the society. Love, mutual submission and order. Hallelujah. Love, mutual submission and order. That is God's plan. God is a God of order. Hallelujah. Hope you've learned something.